ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नास्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, verse 26. Anastitam te pitribhe
Anastitam te pitribhe
Anyarapi angakarhichi
Anyarapi angakarhichi
Atishtha jagatam vandyam
Anishtha jagatam vandyam
Tadvishnu paramam padam
Tadvishnu paramam padam
Anastitam te pitribhe
Anastitam te pitribhe
Anyarapi angakarhichi
Anyarapi angakarhichi
Atishtha jagatam vandyam
Anishtha jagatam vandyam
Tadvishnu paramam padam
Tadvishnu paramam padam
Anastitam te pitribhe
Anastitam te pitribhe
Anyarapi angakarhichi
Anyarapi angakarhichi
Atishtha jagatam vandyam
Anishtha jagatam vandyam
Tadvishnu paramam padam
Tadvishnu paramam padam
Anastitam,
never achieved.
Te,
your.
Pitribhi,
by forefathers.
Anye,
by others.
Api,
even.
Anga,
O Dhruva.
Karhichit, at any time.
Atishtha,
please come and live there. Jagatam,
by the inhabitants of the universe.
Vandyam,
worshipable.
Tat,
that.
Vishnu,
of Lord Vishnu.
Paramam,
supreme.
Padam,
situation.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet, the planet known as Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. Translation, please repeat.
Dear King Dhruva,
neither your forefathers
nor
anyone else before you
ever achieved
such a transcendental planet,
the planet known as
Vishnu Loka,
where Lord Vishnu
personally resides,
is the highest of all.
It is worshipable
by the inhabitants
of all other planets
within the universe.
Please come with us
and live there
eternally.
Purport.
When Dhruva Maharaj went to perform austerities, he was very determined to achieve a post never dreamed of by his forefathers. His father was Uttanapad, his grandfather was Manu, and his great-grandfather was Lord Brahma. So Dhruva wanted a kingdom even greater than Lord Brahma could achieve, and he requested Narad Muni to give him facility for achieving it. The associates of Lord Vishnu reminded him that not only his forefathers, but everyone else before him was unable to attain Vishnu Loka, the planet where Lord Vishnu resides.
This is because everyone within this material world is either a karmi, a gnani or a yogi. But there are hardly any pure devotees. The transcendental planet known as Vishnuloka is especially meant for devotees, not for karmis, gnanis or yogis. Great rishis or demigods can hardly approach Brahmaloka, and as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmaloka is not a permanent residence. Lord Brahma's duration of life is so long that it is difficult to estimate even a duration of one day in his life, and yet Lord Brahma also dies and do the residence of his planet. Bhagavad Gita 8.16 says, A Brahma Bhuvanal Loke Punar Avartino Arjuna. Except for those who go to Vishnuloka, everyone is subject to the four principles of material life, namely birth, death, old age and disease. The Lord says, Yad Gatva Na Nivartante Tad Dhamma Paramam Mama. The planet from which one's going, no one returns, is my supreme abode. Bhagavad Gita 15.6. Dhruva Maharaj was reminded, You are going in our company to that planet from which no one returns to this material world. Material scientists are attempting to go to moon and other planets, but they cannot imagine going to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, or it is beyond their imagination. By material calculation, traveling at the speed of light, it would take 40,000 light years to reach the topmost planet. By mechanical process, we are unable to reach the topmost planet of this universe. But the process called Bhakti Yoga, as executed by Maharaj Dhruva, can give one the facility not only to reach other planets within this universe, but also to reach beyond this universe to the Vishnuloka planets. We have outlined this in our small booklet, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitascha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishadanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna So, we are coming to the end of this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, and it's very interesting how the journey of Dhruva Maharaj has gone in ups and downs. So, and actually today is a very auspicious day because in other way it is inauspicious that I am giving a class, but it is auspicious that it is disappearance day of Srila Sanatan Goswami, who is one of our prominent acharyas, and also it is Guru Purnima. Is also celebrated as a Vyas Puja day of Srila Vyasadev. And also it is, anyone else? What else is there today? Sorry?
Friday.
Beginning of a weekend. And it is also a beginning of Chaturmasya. So it's the first month of Chaturmasya where we fast from, you know, what do we fast from? Whatever Mataji makes, mother makes, right? So, we fast from green leafy vegetables. So,
It's very auspicious that we are entering into this austerity period. And it's a period of festivals. So soon the festivals will begin. So it's a very auspicious time. But coming back to the pastime, we will discuss about Srila Sanatan Goswami as well as we will discuss something about Vyasadeva as we go along with this pastime. But prominently we'll read from, as it is mentioned in Bhagavatam, we'll go through the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, which is coming to an end now. So we can understand this pastime by four A's. I've categorized them into four A's that we should implement in our life, that we see in Dhruva Maharaj. The first A is attitude. So Dhruva Maharaj had a particular attitude, and it is required, a correct attitude is required if you want to progress in devotional life. If you want to progress in bhakti, you need to have a certain type of attitude. So what was the attitude that Dhruva Maharaj had? The first thing that we see in Dhruva Maharaj was this component of austerity. He performed austerity at the age of 5. He performed severe austerity, and that is required. It is mentioned he ruled the kingdom for how many years? 36,000 years he ruled the kingdom. And it is mentioned, as Bhagavatam stated in the previous verses, for those 36,000 years he performed a lot of austerities and sacrifices. For two reasons. One was, he enjoyed the kingdom also to get rid of the reactions of his punya, pious activities. And he did a lot of austerity to get rid of the impious activities or papam. To get rid of the reactions. So both the things he did in those 36,000 years. But this important component is austerity that we'll discuss. It is required that when we are performing devotional service, we don't become, we don't enjoy material life. We enjoy devotional, we enjoy bhakti, right? That is one of the things, one of the characteristics of bhakti out of six is Sandrananda Visheshatma. So, Kleshagni, Subhada, then comes Sudurlabha, Moksha Lagukrita, Sandrananda Visheshatma, and then Shri Krishna. Akarshani. So, Sandrananda Visheshatma is one of the characteristics of bhakti. So, there is enjoyment, but we don't enjoy material facilities that is provided. Here, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he was awarded with 36,000 years of kingdom, ruling the earth. And he enjoyed, but at the same time, he performed a lot of austerity. And enjoyment was there out of his karmic reactions. It is mentioned he was exhausting, by enjoying, he was exhausting his punya. And by austerity sacrifices, he was exhausting his papam. So both are required. But again, one should not become complacent in his devotional life. One should continuously endeavor for austerity. There has to be some component of austerity when he is performing devotional life. So this is in 5th canto, Srila Rishabhdev mentions this verse, Nayam Deo Deya Bhajam. Narloke kastam kama arhate vidbhujamye tapo devyam putraka yena satvam suddhiye deyashmat brahma sokhyam tumanantam. So Srila Rishabhdev mentions this to his sons, that tapo devyam putraka yena satvam, one should, who has got this nayam deo deya bhajam, who has got this deya of a narloka, of a human body, one should not waste time in material facilities like what is even available to dogs and hogs. So eating, mating, sleeping, and procreating, these are all already given to even dogs and hogs. One should not waste his time in those activities. One should perform tapo divyam. And this is a month which is beginning with the Chaturmasya, and it will end in Kartik month. And then there will be last 5 days of Kartika known as Bhishma Panchaka. Like when there is a cricket match, the last over is like where the cricketers hit the maximum six and fours, right? Scores the maximum, because it's just last overs are left, last balls are left, right? So like that, Chaturmasya begins with, we have to do some of the austerities, but at the end, the last 5 days, we have to intensify, especially the last month, the Kartik month, we have to intensify, because it's the last month of the Chaturmasa period. We intensify our austerities, and in the last 5 days, it becomes more condensed or intense, not condensed, intense, where we do for 5 days, we perform the maximum austerity level we can perform. So depending on the bodily requirements, we can perform austerities on in those days and get the maximum benefit out of this auspicious period. So it is required that we perform austerity. The second attitude we see in Dhruva Maharaj was determination. It is mentioned here, when Dhruva Maharaj went to perform austerities, he was very determined to achieve the post never dreamed by his forefathers. He was very determined. So it's very important that whatever we do in our life, we have to be determined. Even in material life, we have to be determined. When people go out for work, they are very determined. We see Monday to Friday, them, and then the news comes that 10,000 people will be sacked, and they are one of them, and the company is still going, right? So people work as if, and it's really interesting, especially when you have little bit of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and you attend those meetings. It's like a goat coming in the slaughterhouse. He's eating and chewing and enjoying the grass, but not seeing that the blade is going to, he's going to be the next under the blade. So this is how the people in Kali Yuga are. They think like they are, the whole thing is dependent. Everything is dependent on them. Yesterday my manager was saying, his manager asked him, like, why should we keep you when one of your, who is working for you, one of your subordinates is equally working as much as you. So prove that you are required in the meeting. So what would he say? Why should we pay you more, double the salary than your subordinate, when he is equally working? Prove that you are better than him. So constantly people in material life, job, have to prove themselves that why they are worth. Because right now the whole company is going into this mood of, if you are not required or if somebody else can take your job, you are gone. They have got a target in next 3 years, they are going to sack about 10,000 jobs. Which is 25% of the company is going to be sacked. So imagine the mentality or mindset of these people. Everyone is working under fear. So, but again, we see when they speak in meetings, they speak as if they are the ones who are running the company. They're so determined in their focus. So the same determination is required. And we see in Dhruva Maharaj, there was no spiritual motive. It was, but the determination was there. So it is very important that even in devotional life, we should have determination, because without determination, we cannot get anything. So it's one of the very important points. Especially we should have, it is mentioned, the devotees are like Kshatriyas. As Dhruva Maharaj was Kshatriya, as soon as he heard the words of Suruchi, he became angry. And he wanted a kingdom. He went out. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his forefathers. So that Kshatriya, and when devotees, when we start chanting, we have declared war against, Srila Prabhupada mentions this, we have declared war against Maya. And when you are at war, you cannot look behind. You don't have chance. In the Vedic times, especially we see in many of the serials, Mahabharata and all, like when they have war, both parties are standing on the opposite sides. And as soon as there was a call by the commander, that fight or Akraman, right? They all just run. Then there is no looking back, either the opposite party or you. So the maximum people you can kill or defeat, right? So that is the way wars are fought. You don't look behind. So similarly, when we are at war with Maya, and Maya Devi is very powerful, it's an unequal war. Maya Devi is the energy of the Lord. So when we are declaring war against Maya, we need sophisticated weapons. When the opposite army is very powerful, we need very sophisticated weapons. And what is our sophisticated weapon? Sorry? Chanting. Devotional service. Sadhana. Our sadhana is our sophisticated weapon. The more attentive sadhana or careful sadhana we have got, the better we will have chance to survive Maya or Mayadevi. So without this sophisticated weapon, we cannot go on war. We'll be defeated in no time. So we need to have a proper sadhana. So that attitude, again it comes down to austerity. There is an austerity level required to perform our sadhana. We cannot just chant our rounds in gaps, fill in the blanks of the day. Where two rounds go in morning, afternoon, when we get some lunchtime, we chant for evening. So it cannot be the gap kind of a filling the gaps chanting, and the final rounds go in the night, midnight. So we need a little bit of austerity. We need to perform a little bit of seriousness in chanting, because if we have to go on war, we have to be prepared. So we need a Kshatriya spirit, which is very important, as we see in Dhruva Maharaj's case. And another thing is required is Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Vritya. What does that mean? Krishna is the only supreme controller, and everyone else is his subordinate. Everyone else is his servant. So that nishtha, or that, and we see in Dhruva Maharaj's case, what did he ask when Kuvera approached him for benediction? What did he ask? He said, Acharav cha varva achalitam. Harav cha varve achalitam and smritim. Achalitam means he asked for unflinching faith and smritim, remembrance of Supreme Personality, constant remembrance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these two things are required. Full faith in the process that we are following. Full faith in Krishna consciousness. Full faith in our sadhana and Lord, in our Guru, in the devotees. So that is required. Full faith is required. And remembrance. Constant remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's interesting. We were discussing Bhagavad Gita on Wednesday, and in that the middle six chapter are known as the bhakti section or devotional section of Bhagavad Gita. In that we are right now discussing in a group 12th chapter, and from verse 8 to 12 Krishna says the process. Krishna gives the process how you can come to the stage of constant remembrance. So the first step he is saying, Krishna is saying in verse 8 is, one should completely meditate on him. One should meditate on him then and completely use his intelligence in devotional service. And if he does that, then he will constantly be within me. He'll be constantly, he is within me, and there is no doubt about that. So this is the platform required, that one is constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. One is constantly remembering the Supreme Lord. But if it is not possible, that is more, it is like a Raganuga platform where one is constantly remembering the Lord, right? So Krishna is saying, if that is not possible, then he's saying, at least then you follow the rules and regulations of bhakti. You perform sadhana bhakti. In verse 9 he mentions, you perform sadhana bhakti and by that you will purify your existence. You purify your consciousness. But if you are not able to do that, then Krishna is saying, then you work for me. You do service. If you are not able to constantly meditate on me, if you are not able to follow the rules and regulations strictly, then at least you work for me. If you are not even able to do that, if you are not able to work for me, then at least engage in some kind of charity. Mine also. So, at least you work for me. If you are not able to work for me, then at least you perform some charity, or you renounce the results of your work. So when you renounce the result of your work, then you cultivate detachment, and then you will purify your existence. But even if you are not able to do that, then you cultivate your knowledge. So in verse 12 he mentions, cultivate your knowledge, and by that knowledge you will come to some, he's, and finally he mentions, but meditation is better than cultivation and knowledge, and renunciation of your fruits of your actions is better than meditation. So this is required, the process is required. One has to do it with determination. One has to constantly, so this is a progress where we have to come to the platform where we finally come to the point where we are constantly remembering the Lord, and we are engaging our all our, it is mentioned, engage all your intelligence in me. So that all is very important. We are constantly engaging all our intelligence in serving the Lord. It is not like 50% of our intelligence is serving the Lord and 50% is how I can enjoy or how I can keep some things for myself. We see in the, as it is, Sanatan Goswami's Dhirubhava Mahotsav as well, so we'll discuss something. Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami were constantly thinking, even though when they were working for Nawab, they were constantly thinking about how I can join, how we can join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement. So they were, and Sanatan Goswami, especially after Rupa Goswami and Anupam left, Sanatan Goswami was taking sick leave from his work, from Nawab's duties, and he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam and other sastras in the association of the devotees at his place. So this was the dedication. They were constantly, and they were writing letters to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give us permission to leave our job. And it is interesting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to that letter with an example. He said, he just mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies in a letter saying, like, as a wife has a paramount, someone else, she works with so much of attention that the husband does not know about that paramount. He just mentioned that. And Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami understood, okay, we have to work in the court of Nawab as if, and we have to practice devotional life as well, simultaneously. So they waited until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a signal, okay, now we can come. So then Rupa Goswami left the service of Nawab, but Sanatan Goswami remained there for a while. So it is meant, we see in the life of Sanatan Goswami also that he was determined to cultivate. Anyways, these souls are not ordinary souls. They don't have anything in any material qualities. But still, we can learn lessons from their life. And the third attitude which is required, which we see in Dhruva Maharaj, is non-duplicity and non-enviousness. So when Dhruva Maharaj, it is mentioned when Dhruva Maharaj went to Narad Muni, what did he say? He requested Narad Muni to give him a facility for achieving a kingdom even greater than Lord Brahma could achieve. When Narad Muni asked him, what do you want? And he straight away said, he did not say, I want to see the Lord, I want to serve the Lord, I want to please the Lord. No. He said, tell me the process, how I can achieve a kingdom greater than my forefathers. Straight away came to the point, what his desire was. And that kind of non-duplicit nature one has to cultivate. At least one should know within himself what he wants. There should not be any ulterior motives to achieve our personal motives. So he was non-duplicit. Even when he went and killed the yakshas, he did not play any politics. He was just there because his brother was killed. He just went and started a fight. So there was, it is mentioned, he was non-duplicit in nature and he had no envies. He was non-envious. Nirmat Saranam, that is required in devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam can only be understood by people who are, it is mentioned at the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, right? Only people who are Nirmat Saranam, who are non-envious, they can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So these qualities are required. So the first A we understood was attitude, and the second A we will understand is association. How Dhruva Maharaj got association, because only if you have a correct attitude in devotional life you will get a correct association. If you don't have a correct attitude, if you don't have these qualities of austerity, if you don't have qualities of determination, non-duplicity, non-enviousness, then you will not get association of devotees. So it is very important that we have the correct attitude so that we can get correct association. And we see where did Dhruva Maharaj got his instructions from? The first instruction that Dhruva Maharaj got was from? From birth.
Suruchi.
Even though Suruchi was, it is mentioned she was envious towards Dhruva Maharaj. But the instruction which she gave was correct. What did she say? Suruchi said, if you at all desire to rise to the throne of the king, then you have to undergo severe austerity, which Dhruva Maharaj did. First of all, you must satisfy the Supreme Personality of God and Narayan. And then when you are favored by Him, because of such worship, you shall have to take birth, next birth, from my womb. So that's he followed Suruchi, even though she was envious. This is another thing of the previous age. In the previous age, this is Satyuga we are talking about, right? It's the beginning of creation. If people were so pious that even though they had some enmity towards others, they used to give the correct suggestions. Their teachings or their suggestions were appropriate. So Suruchi gives the instruction, do some austerity for the Supreme Lord Narayan. And then Suniti accepted. Suniti said, my dear boy, whatever has been spoken by Suruchi, your stepmother, although very harsh to hear, is factual. It's factual. Therefore, if you desire to sit on the same throne as your stepbrother, Uttama, you have to give up your envious attitude and immediately try to execute the instruction of your stepmother. So, Suniti then approved of that instruction. So, if one has got a correct attitude, he will automatically get correct instructions. And then Dhruva Maharaj, we know the past time, right? Dhruva Maharaj got association of Narad Muni. And in the later life, and he achieved perfection. And then in the later life, he got association of his grandfather, Swayambhu Manu, when he was killing all the yakshas. He got association of an instruction from. So when we say association, what does that mean? When we say we are getting association of a devotee, what does that mean? It means that we are getting instructions from the devotees. Association does not mean that we go out and have prasadam together, or we go out for a movie together, or we spend time together. Physical association is one thing, but the other association is instructions that we accept from others, or especially the devotees. So again, in our spiritual life, we take associations in the form of vapu and vani. So vapu association is good. We should take, especially of our spiritual master and other senior devotees, we should take that association. But more important than vapu association is vani instructions, because they are the ones which remain for us for longer time, or forever actually. So it is important that we take association in the form of instruction from the. If devotees are not instructing us, that means we are in a dangerous position. So it is very important that we take the association of devotees, especially in the form of instructions. In Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions this three times in the second and third verse. He's saying, in the second verse, he's saying, Janasangas cha laulam cha. One should give up the worldly association. Only then he can, otherwise he will fall down. If it keeps the association of worldly minded people, then he will fall down in his spiritual life. And in the third third verse, he's saying twice, Sangatagat sato vritte. Sangatagat. One should reject unfavorable association and one should accept or follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. Sangatagat sato vritte. So only then he will be able to advance in his spiritual life. So this association is very important. We see in the life of Sanatana Goswami also. When Sanatana Goswami was first of all, Sanatana Goswami left the service. Nawab wanted him to go to South India and accompany him, because he was going to conquer some of the cities or states. So Nawab wanted Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami refused. No, he does not want to come. And when the Nawab found out that Sanatan Goswami was taking sick leave and he was reciting Bhagavatam and Shastras at his place, Nawab ordered his soldiers to arrest Sanatan Goswami and put him in prison. So the Nawab ordered Sanatan Goswami to be kept in prison at that time. So we see Sanatan Goswami rejected the association of the Nawab, and then somehow he bribed, and Rupa Goswami came to know about how Sanatan Goswami was arrested. So he sent a message that he has left 1,000 gold coins in the marketplace, and somehow Sanatan Goswami bribed the jailkeeper and escaped. There's a long story behind this, but anyways, we'll just tell the main points here. So Sanatan Goswami escaped, and when he escaped the prison, he went to Pathar, and he had his servant Ishan. So most of the gold coins he gave it, distributed before he left, but he kept 8 gold coins with Ishan, who was his servant. And at that time, this hotel manager where they stayed in Pathar, he came to know from his promise that these people are carrying some gold coins. So he tried to flatter Sanatan Goswami and Ishan, and then looked after them very nicely. But Sanatan Goswami could understand, like, this person can anytime cheat us or kill us even. So he asked Ishan to give all the gold coins to this hotel manager, and Ishan kept 1 gold coin for himself and gave 7 gold coins to the hotel manager. And the hotel manager was happy, even though he knew there were 8, but he got 7, so he thought, okay, he was satisfied. And he made arrangements so that they can get out of Pathar, and they wanted to go to Vrindavan because they understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan. So Sanatan Goswami made arrangements that he can reach Vrindavan quickly. But Sanatan Goswami knew that one gold coin Ishan had kept for himself. So when he did not speak then, but as soon as they went from Pathar, Sanatan Goswami relieved Ishan from his service, because he could understand Ishan had some ulterior motive. He did not follow the orders. So this is very important, that one should follow the orders of the spiritual master. If one does not follow the orders, sometimes the spiritual master may reject the devotee, and sometimes he might not give his association. So we see in the Sanatan Goswami's case, he rejected. But again, Sanatan Goswami, when he reached Vrindavan, he came to know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left from there, and he was in Banaras now. So Sanatan Goswami was in the place in Dham where Krishna resides, right? So he could have stayed there, but he said, no, let me go and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Banaras. So he left from there and went to Banaras. So this should be the intensity of one should have that kind of intensity to associate with a spiritual master. So we see in the life of Sanatan Goswami, then he went to Banaras, and there is a nice pastime as well, what happens in Banaras. But the fourth thing that we'll discuss, so we understood one third thing we'll discuss is, the first thing is, was attitude. One needs to have a proper attitude in devotional service. If one has proper attitude, he will get favorable association. And if one gets favorable association, the third thing which comes, the third A in devotional service, should be acceptance or humility, to accept. So one should, when one gets an instruction, when one gets association, if one does not follow the instruction, there is no use. So one has to be accepting the instructions. The acceptance has to be there in spiritual life. Especially we see Dhruva Maharaj followed the instruction of stepmother, followed the instruction of his mother, followed the instruction of Narad Muni. And when Swayambhu Manu instructed him to stop fighting, he followed. He was anger, but his anger subsided immediately. He did not kept on going, no, my brother has been killed. There was no personal motive then. As soon as he got instruction from Swayambhu Manu to stop fighting, he stopped. And he followed the instruction. So this was very important, that one has to except one has to be humble enough to accept the instructions of his spiritual master. And by accepting the instruction in humility, one can see the Lord face to face. So this is a very important point. We should accept the instructions. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave two instructions to Sanatana Goswami. The first instruction was to go to Vrindavan and discover the pastime places of Lord Krishna. And the second instruction he gave was to write shastras, to write books in Vrindavan. So even though Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they did not want to leave the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but because it was the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they did it. So they went to Vrindavan, they left the association. So this is, in this we see how it is important to follow the instruction of the Lord and the devotees. Also, as we mentioned, there is a nice pastime when Sanatana Goswami, this shows how humble Sanatana Goswami was. So when Sanatana Goswami came to Banaras, he went to the place of Chandrasekhar, where Lord was staying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying. So he went there and sat outside the house, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Chandrasekhar, like, go and see if somebody has come for me, looking for me outside. So Chandrasekhar went outside and saw, he couldn't see anyone but a mendicant, like a beggar, who had long matted hair and long beard, and he was looking unkempt, like he must have not taken bath for a long time. So he was really looking like a beggar. So he came back inside and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, there is no one outside. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, there should be someone outside. And he said, yeah, there is some beggar kind of a person. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yeah, he's the one, get him in. So then Chandrasekhar went outside, got Sanatana Goswami inside, and Mahaprabhu embraced him. So it is mentioned there was an exchange between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's interesting, before that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in Ramkeli, which was the first time they met. So at that time they were in the service of the Nawab. So they were wearing the royal clothes, and they came hiding to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to embrace them, and they moved back. They said, no, we are untouchables. We are working for a Malaysia king, and we are not suitable for your embrace. So this was the humility of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So this time also, Sanatana Goswami, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami to clean himself, and he went to Ganga, took bath, cut his hair, shaved his beard, and then he was sitting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was kept looking at the chadar Sanatana Goswami was wearing, because on the journey to Vrindavan he also met his brother-in-law Shrikant. Sanatana Goswami met his brother-in-law, and he gave him a nice chadar, opulent chadar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking at the chadar, kept looking at the chadar, and Sanatana Goswami could understood that this is not the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not want me to have this chadar, because it was a very opulent chadar. So this is another thing we have to learn. One should understand the mood of a spiritual master. So this is the first class devotee, disciple, who understands the mood of a spiritual master even without saying it. So second class disciple is who has to be told what needs to be done. And the third class disciple is, even after getting told, he does not understand. So one has to come to this, at least one should be a first class. He should understand the mood of his spiritual master. So Sanatana Goswami understood this mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he went to take bath the next day, he saw a beggar who was sitting there, and he had a very old chadar. So he approached him and he told him, can we exchange, swap this chadars? And first the beggar thought, he's joking. Such a nice chadar, and my chadar is such a torn chadar, right? It is such an old, filthy chadar. Why does he want to exchange? Nobody exchanges these days, right? The old chadar for an opulent chadar. So first he hesitated. But then Sanatana Goswami, because he saw, like, Sanatana Goswami was genuinely requesting him, he swapped his chadar. And then Sanatana Goswami wore that old chadar, torn chadar, and went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him what had took place, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this, that a sannyasi should be simple, or a devotee should live simply, he should not have opulent clothes on him. So this was a mood of Sanatana Goswami. So this is what acceptance means. So the first thing is attitude. With attitude we get correct association, and with association we get instructions which have to be accepted in our life, because those instructions will cultivate humility. And the final thing that is required, or it can be final or it can be one of the first one, which is approachable. The devotee should be approachable. The mood of a devotee should be such, even though he is a king. Now Dhruva Maharaj was a king, but Narad Muni approached him, Swayambhu Manu approached him, Kuvera approached him. As soon as Dhruva Maharaj was peaceful and Swayambhu Manu left from there, Kuvera appeared in front of him. So Kuvera approached him and told him, what benedictions you want? It is very nice that you have given up your envious attitude and you have become peaceful. Now tell me what you want. Ask me for a benediction. And again, as we heard, he asked for remembrance of the Lord and unflinching faith. So we see from this pastime that the Dhruva Maharaj was approachable. So it is very important that devotees, again in Bhagavatam, we see there is a pastime of Bharat Maharaj. So one of the reasons Bharat Maharaj fell down was because he was not approachable. He secluded himself from the devotees. And that one thing we should never seclude ourselves from devotees' association. Because even if person is at the platform of bhava, Bharat Maharaj was, it is mentioned, he was at the platform of bhava, he was completely surrendered to the Lord. But still, because he secluded from the association, he fell down. He couldn't understand how, he couldn't even realize how he was getting captured in the clutches of Maya by being attached. He left, we have to understand this point. Bharat Maharaj was ruling the earth and he had all the opulence, he had many wives, he had 100 sons. He gave up, he became detached to all of them, his family members, and went to forest. But at the end he became attached to a deer. How can we understand this? Right? So we have to understand this point. One should always be approachable. One should always be in the association of the devotees. If he's not approachable, then he may fall down anytime. We see the pastime of Chitraketu, Maharaj Chitraketu. He was on the, it is also mentioned, Maharaj Chitraketu was flying in an aeroplane. And he was flying in an aeroplane, not alone, with many apsaras, wives. And he was obviously singing the glories, because he's a pure devotee, he was singing the glories. But he was, it is mentioned, he was on top. So one of the things we have to understand is, when you are on top, when you become gradually, like in the life of a devotee, this will happen automatically. When one progresses, when one passes years after years in devotional life, he becomes knowledgeable, he becomes, he will perform more devotional service. So he will get a lot of fame, he will get a lot of adoration, people will respect him, so he will get a lot of respect. So all those things will come because they are the byproducts of bhakti. So those things will, but one should not be puffed up, or one should not become enamored by all those facilities that he has been given. And if he becomes puffed up or he becomes on top of it, then he's not, he's less approachable. And so that this is one of the things it is mentioned. Maharaj Chitraketu was flying in an aeroplane with the wives or apsaras, and then he was, even though he was singing the glories, he offended Lord Shiva. He smiled when Lord Shiva was giving Bhagavatam, or with Mother Parvati on the lap. So he smiled. It was not a disrespect, but he still had that thought. So it is mentioned in that pastime, Acharya has mentioned, because he was on top, he was thinking, how is this? He couldn't see through. In that assembly, there were many sages, it is mentioned. Many sages were hearing from Lord Shiva. But they were not affected. But because Maharaj Chitraketu was on top, he got affected by it. So one has to be very approachable. It is very important. And we see in this past time, Dhruva Maharaj was approachable. Even though he was a king of the whole world, practically the whole earth was in under his control, and he was very powerful. He had seen the Lord face to face. So he was very powerful already. But still it was easy for Swayambhu Manu to approach him. It was easy for Kuvera to approach him, to give him blessings, benedictions. It was easy for Narad Muni to approach him. So one has to cultivate this mood of acceptance where it culminates into humility. So when one is humble, people feel confident, people feel comfortable to approach you. And this mood we see in Sanatana Goswami also. It is mentioned Sanatana Goswami used to go on Govardhan Parikrama every day. Every day. He used to reside in Radha Damodar temple. We all know where Radha Damodar temple is in Vrindavan, right? So from Radha Damodar temple, he used to walk all the way to Govardhan and used to do Parikrama and come back. And on his Parikrama, he used to pay obeisances to 1,000 devotees at least. Every day he used to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 100, 1,000. 1,000 devotees he used to pay obeisances. So this was, and the mood of Sanatana Goswami was such, the whole village, whole Vrindavan, all, even the neighboring villages used to come approach him for, if there was a conflict between devotees or people, they used to approach Sanatana Goswami to resolve those conflicts. So people used to, he was approachable. Even though he was such a great saint, he wrote Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas. These are all the sastras which are like Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the condensed knowledge of all the Vedas. And Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the condensed knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he wrote all this, he gave all these sastras. But still he was down to earth. He was such a humble devotee that people were comfortable approaching him for guidance, for resolving the conflicts. So this is Guhyam Akhyati Prachyati. One, it is required, again, Rupa Goswami mentions this, one should have such a kind of a demeanor that people are easy, devotees are comfortable in approaching. It is also mentioned in Sanatana Goswami, when he got old, every day he used to go on Parikrama. So when he got old, Krishna himself came before him and told, now you are old, you cannot do parikramas, your body is hurting. So take this shila and you rotate around, you circumambulate around this shila 4 times, and it is as good as doing the parikrama. And that shila is in Radha Damodar temple. So it has got a footprint of Krishna. So what do? When we go to Radha Damodar temple, we rotate, we circumambulate that shila 4 times. And we have done our Govardhan Parikrama, right? But Srila Sanatana Goswami did not do that. Even though that Srila was there, he still used to continue going on Parikrama, Govardhan Parikrama. He did not leave, he did not take a shortcut. So that kind of austerity, as we mentioned this, austerity is required. Association is required. Acceptance is required. And then we'll come to approachability, which is required. So in Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, it is mentioned Srila Sanatana Goswami is Lavanga Manjuri in Krishna. And it is also mentioned that he is an incarnation of Sanat Kumar. So Sanat Kumar entered into the body of Srila Sanatana Goswami. So he is an incarnation of Sanat Kumar as well. So I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments. Shila Sanatana Goswami ki, Shila Vyasadeva ki, Chaturmasa ki, Shila Prabhupada ki, Granthras Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna.